Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house as we worship God on this fourth Sunday of the Advent season. As always, we encourage everyone to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on to your neighbor seated next to you. Today, after the 11 o'clock service, right around noon, we will have our annual congregational meeting to vote on the 2022 budget and the 2022 through 24 elders, deacons, and junior deacons. And following this will be a catered fellowship lunch in the fellowship hall. Christian Women's Fellowship also has bazaar items where the proceeds will benefit the ministries, the many ministries of the Women's Fellowship. Please check this week's announcement page inside your bulletin that gives details concerning the Warmth Tree, the Samaritan's Purse Ministries, the church's Christmas card, and also storm relief through the Week of Compassion offerings. There's also an announcement in your bulletin giving details about an evening with the Rimmerts, featuring our organist Ladora and her husband Ken, as we are gathering a group to attend on Sunday afternoon, February 20th. So far, we have over 20 people planning to attend. So please see Peggy Treese if you're interested in that. And then on Christmas Eve, this coming Friday, can you believe it's already here? This coming Friday, we'll be offering a children's Christmas Eve service at 5 o'clock and a candlelight Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock. 2022 offering envelopes are also available back in the foyer. Please pick yours up to save on the mailing cost. For your offerings for the ministries of Berry Christian Church and beyond, we are certainly grateful. And thank you again, Nanette Krause, for sharing your musical gift with us this morning. Good to see you again. All right, now may we begin our worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. On this Sunday before Christmas Day, we call upon the name of Jesus Christ. In honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven and on earth and the world below, to the glory of God the Father, forever and ever. Amen. We'll now sing number 153, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, stanzas 1 and 4.
May we bow in a word of prayer. Lord God, we do give thanks once again for the privilege to gather in person here in your house this morning. As we continue to await the birth of the Christ child, we pray for guidance of the Holy Spirit as we prepare not only our hearts, but also our homes and our families. We recognize the world is different than it was during previous Advent and Christmas seasons. We are grateful for the progress that's been made for safe gatherings, and we pray for continued health and social consciousness during our gatherings in the upcoming days and weeks. Holy God, we pray now for the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we begin our service of worship together. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Ryan, how are you? Please be seated.
Good morning. Of all the decorations that adorn our sanctuary, the one that should always be the focus of our attention during this season of Advent is the Advent wreath. And on this fourth Sunday of the Advent season, we see the fourth and final weekly candle lit with the other three. The brilliance of these four lights reminds us that the Advent season is growing long as we anticipate the day of Christ's arrival, which is to be celebrated just 6 days from today. And as the brilliance of these four candles will light up the sanctuary, and even as we light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve, we become ever so hopeful. For Christ said of himself in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness. We eagerly anticipate the presence of the Christ child as Doris O'Neill and Brad and Lauren Taylor come forward to light all four of the weekly candles.
We first relight this first, second, and third candles of the Advent wreath as we previously learned the meaning behind the colors of everlasting green, sacrificial red, starlight silver, the kingship of gold, sacred blue, and pink for repentance. Other one. This morning, we also increase the light of the Advent wreath with the fourth candle of the wreath, as it is represented in color, violet, or in some instances, similar shades of purple. Just as blue was so very rare in ancient times, so also was the color violet.
We remember from the New Testament that Lydia was a wealthy merchant who was converted to Christianity by the apostles Paul and Silas. Her wealth was directly correlated to the fact that she worked exclusively with the upper and royal classes of her day, for she was a merchant of violet dye and cloths. Because violet was so exclusive, it has thus for centuries been associated with royalty. As we light the fourth candle of the Advent wreath and think of the royal color of violet, we remember most of all that Christ our Lord will be forever and ever the King of all kings. As Revelations chapter 17, verses 14 reminds us, our Lord Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings.
Kiddos, come up for the children's sermon as we sing Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus.
Good morning, guys. Are we good this morning? Are we getting like really excited for Christmas? Yeah. Yeah. Jeffy, don't play with the flowers, dude. Thank you. When we buy a new game, or when we buy a new phone or TV, or when we buy lots of new stuff, we get these papers in them, don't we? And the papers are instructions. Yeah? Tells us how to put things together, or how to play the game, or how to run whatever little gadget we've got. And some of the gadgets also come with a warranty. Do you know what a warranty is? Do you know what that means? It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee that if you read your little book and you use your little gadget the way you're supposed to, they're going to guarantee that it works. And some of them guarantee it for a year, maybe two. Some of your bigger stuff, maybe 5 years. But that's pretty much it. You only get a guarantee for a little while. Well, we have this. This is the Bible. This is our instruction manual. This tells us what to do, what God wants from us, doesn't it? He says, okay, if you're having a problem here, you just pray to me and we'll figure it out, okay? Yeah? Yeah? God will help you figure it out? Not only that, but this is our warranty. This is our guarantee. This is the best guarantee in the whole world. Because God says, if you read this Bible and you follow the instructions in this Bible, He's going to guarantee you life with Him forever. Not just a year or two, forever we get to be with Jesus. And all we have to do is follow the instruction manual. That's pretty awesome, huh? That's what we start celebrating on Christmas Day. Is Jesus coming to guarantee to be our warranty? Should we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for His sacrifice for us so that we may always live with you in heaven in joy and peace forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we are privileged to go before the Lord's presence in prayer, we are certainly mindful that the Week of Compassion Offering is still a way that we can respond to the needs of the many affected by the tornadoes. A couple of weekends ago, as we mentioned last week, and as it's described in the bulletin, all you would need to do would be to write a check to the church, put on the memo line, Week of Compassion, and those resources will be added to other resources that have been received here in the church and sent to help meet those needs. Among our church members, we want to lift up Bill Ballard. You may recall last week we mentioned that he is dealing with the coronavirus, but we now understand that he is in hospice care. So please keep Bill and his family in your prayers. Also, we lift up Helen Kirby. She's going to be having an additional procedure for the aortic artery of her heart. This will be taking place on the 20th of January, but she's making good progress from the last procedure about 2 weeks ago and is still at home. Carol Cook's daughter, Christy Cook, is in our prayers as she is still dealing with the thyroid concerns. And Bonnie Wisdom's son-in-law, Chris Bishop, made a good success through the surgical procedure this past week to address the Parkinson's disease that he's dealing with, and another procedure will be taking place on the 11th of January, right? Bonnie, so we keep Chris in prayer. And we're praising God that Katie Turner's cousin, Anoki, is still making good progress in Colorado. And Ruth Ann, we always keep Rihanna in our prayers this week, another surgery this week. So we keep her in prayer for that. Also, Edna Williams' cousin, Anna Hext, whom we had been lifting up for quite a number of months, she passed into the Lord's presence this past week, you know, after dealing with such a long list of health matters after that back procedure several months back. So please keep them in prayer too. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Holy God, we're humbled to assemble in your house this Sunday before Christmas Day. With eager anticipation, we wait for Christmas Day, a day in which we may not only pause from our daily tasks to enjoy the company of loved ones and friends, but also a day when we celebrate the Christ child's presence in the manger as he reveals the amazing truth of your presence among us. For as the prophet foretold centuries ago in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." As we gaze upon the Christ child, we consider the great measures of hopefulness that are fulfilled through Jesus' life among us. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the broken are mended, and all mankind is given an avenue of salvation through Christ. And as we strive to carry forth the Christmas spirit long after this coming Saturday, the 25th of December, O God, may our deeds and actions carry forth the gospel message by what we say and do. For as Jesus reminded his disciples, he also reminds us in John 14, verse 17, that those who believe in him will be capable of doing even greater things as your will is achieved through the generations. And although we may be faced with ongoing tragedies and injustices in this earthly life, may we rise above it all to share the peace of your Son, for Jesus says of himself, "Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you." Guide us, O God, toward the hope of Christmas Day as we offer this prayer and as we remember how Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with the angels, let us see.
Bethlehem is situated a mere 5.5 miles south and slightly west of Jerusalem. Bethlehem means house of bread, which may seem like an unusual name when we usually associate Bethlehem with the nearby pastures from which the majority of the sacrificial lambs for the altar in Jerusalem came from. But those fertile fields, nurtured by a mild climate and steady rains, also provide bountiful grains from which bread can be derived. And as we partake of the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper, it's noteworthy to realize that from Bethlehem comes both elements of the Lord's Supper. For the cup represents the blood of Christ poured out for humanity's sin, as Jesus replaced the lamb of the sin offering. And bread represents Christ's body broken for the forgiveness of humanity's sin, even as Jesus said of himself in John chapter 6, verse 35, "I am the bread of life." Thus, as we meditate upon the words of our communion hymn, "O little town of Bethlehem," may we truly appreciate how our loving God planned the village of Bethlehem, the house of bread, to not only be the birthplace of our Lord Jesus, but also the place from which the lamb and bread of the Lord's Supper could be associated. Our communion hymn, number 144, as we sing stanzas 1 and 4 of "O Little Town of Bethlehem." remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Ron leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather around your table this morning, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Remember these emblems, the cup and the bread, the body and the blood, which was sacrificed for our sins. We thank you for that sacrifice and look forward to the opportunity to share your kingdom. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Our Christmas offering is received this Sunday before Christmas every year to benefit the ministries of the Greater Kansas City region, of which our congregation is a part, as we have well over 80 congregations here in the Kansas City metro area alone. Your generosity is appreciated as Ken leads us in a word of prayer and we receive our gifts, tithes, and offerings.
The giving of the offering today will help our church and our community and spread the word of God. And we do this in your free will and spirit. In your name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture readings I share with you this morning, Psalm 23, the last verse, verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And then Luke chapter 1, 30 through 33, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You'll become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him king as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever." And the emphasis for today, his kingdom will never end. The most concise and desperate letter a child could write to Santa Claus goes like this. "Dear Santa, I can explain." May we pray. Lord God, on this Sunday before Christmas Day, we rejoice in the truth that the presence of the Christ child among us gives us comforting hope, not only here on earth, but for all eternity. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. Yes, we all know what it feels like when we realize that we have been more naughty than nice, and that we may well have a lot of explaining to do in our letter to dear old Santa if we ever hope to receive presents rather than that lump of coal. For although we, like sheep, may well know what we ought to do. We are compelled to wander from the ways of the shepherd and get ourselves into trouble time and time again. Through our messages about the 23rd Psalm since the 24th of October, I hope that you've gained a greater appreciation for the Good Shepherd, whose constant vigilance provides great care and protection for his sheep. For we've seen how sheep can indeed be so very wayward in their ways. They so easily get themselves into serious trouble, nibbling on poisonous plants, darting in a panic at the least fearful sound. You remember the message where we talked about them becoming cast, which meant that they were upside down and helpless on their backs, thus becoming easy prey for predators. We remember how they have difficulty not watching their step, and so they can so easily fall off cliff sides and are indeed, they are troubled by insects and vermin constantly through the spring and summer months. In a heartbeat, they are so easily and inadvertently looking at death's door, were it not for the vigilant good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. As we become better educated about flocks of sheep and their shepherds, we've also discovered why there are so many biblical images that compare sheep to humanity and the good shepherd to God and even to Jesus. We, like sheep, we are all too often victims of our own wayward ways, even to the point of causing many of our own tragedies and at times even leading ourselves to near-death circumstances. In our personal letters to God, we'd like to say, as does the child to Santa, "Dear God, I can explain." And yet, we find great comfort in the image of our God as our good shepherd, as he lovingly seeks us out from our wayward ways, picks us up in his loving arms, and brings us back into the comfort and safety of his fold. As we've made our way through the first five verses of Psalm 23, we've experienced King David's image of God as the good shepherd as he carefully leads his flock from the spring through the summer seasons. He leads them to ever-greening pastures, higher and higher, from one pastured plateau to another until they reach the highest tableland, as you may recall from another message, at the height of summer. All along the way, the sheep are never completely out of danger, even at the highest plateau, for dangers always lurk in the shadows of life's earthly experiences for sheep, as well as for we humans. But the compassionate, watchful care of the good shepherd is always present. And this morning, in this closing sixth verse of Psalm 23, King David gives us yet another image to consider. It's rather subtle, but it is still there, as this verse is also the crescendo of his psalm that offers great appreciation and praise to God for being the loving good shepherd. As verse 6 states, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In this sixth verse, summer has come to a close, as the colder winds and falling temperatures of fall bring sleet. The highest pastures become dormant, and it's time for the shepherd and his flock to make their journey downward. Yet along the way, King David, as a sheep in God's flock, reflects on the great care that God has given him not only all through that spring and summer, but indeed every spring and summer. Blessed by the presence of the Good Shepherd, David writes, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And surely, as we think of our relationship with God, isn't that something that we too can proclaim? That God's goodness and his mercy does indeed reside with us always. As the shepherd and his flock arrive at the lowest plain, the cold, snowy winter weather catches up with them, for fall has indeed turned to winter. But the sheep have nothing to fear, for they have arrived at the shepherd's home ranch, where his home, dotted with barns for his sheep, is also surrounded by fenced pastures that provide good fodder, warmth, and safety from wandering predators. Here in the home place, King David exclaims as the closing remark of the 23rd Psalm, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But as he adds this last word, forever, maybe it really should be with an explanation point. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For King David is rejoicing, knowing that whether he's residing here in this earthly realm or whether he is residing in God's eternal realm, he will surely dwell in the living presence of God, who loves him forever. A popular and recurring genre of several HGTV home makeover shows has been to find and build out one's what? Forever home. You've heard of that. I'm now familiar with HGTV stuff because when Carrie and I lived in one of those long-term stay places for a whole month, I had to watch those shows with Carrie. You know, Carrie likes those shows. I'd rather do the work than watch the show, you know. But yet for all the redo work that these shows put into such houses, anyone who lives long enough knows there really is no such thing as a forever home in this earthly life. Recent violent tornadoes in the heartland have reminded us that forever homes can easily be reduced to matchsticks. Last summer's fires in the western states reveal how easily forever homes can be reduced to cinders and ash. Our children grow up. We grow older and less capable of tending to all the chores of our forever homes. Our dwelling becomes more of a burden than a comforting blessing. We downsize, and if we live long enough, we downsize again, if not yet again, until our forever home is merely a rented room in a care center, and the only reminder of our forever home is the framed photos of loved ones on the wall above our single bed. King David knew this journey, even as he wrote his conclusion of the 23rd Psalm, for he too was growing older as he wrote. Yet he could envision his eternal forever home, which simply is to be up close and personal with the eternal presence of our living God. As Jesus declared on behalf of his disciples immediately after the Lord's Supper and before his departure to the Garden of Gethsemane in John chapter 17, verse 3. An eternal life means to know you, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ whom you sent. It's often said, well, you'll never take it with you. But the truth is, when we do die, there are a couple of things we'll take with us: our consciousness and our memories. In fact, I think the consciousness of humanity, the ability to remember the past, to experience the present, and to anticipate the future is the essence of consciousness that makes us distinctive from so many other creatures of the world. That consciousness we will take with us into the eternal realm. And yet, isn't it quite unique to realize that here in this text, Jesus is saying that eternal life means to what? To know God and to know Jesus Christ. Where do we know them? We know them in the midst of our consciousness, that which we will take with us into whatever is the experience of the eternal realm. And on this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we gaze upon the empty cradle of the Nativity scene, we know that soon it will be occupied with the Christ child, Emmanuel. God is with us. And Christ's presence among us reminds us that he came to redeem us from our wayward, sheepish ways. There's no need for us to stand before God and say to him, "I can explain," because we have indeed been forgiven of all we may have ever done. For the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, and we are washed white as snow and are privileged to reside in the presence, in the knowledge, in the understanding of God, not only in the past, not only in the present, but in the forevermore. Jesus declared in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I have come that you may have life, life in all its abundance." And what is that abundance? Surely it is to know God in Jesus Christ. Is that where you are in your life? If it isn't, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. And today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 167, Go Tell It on the Mountain. We'll sing all three stanzas, please.
Christmas morn. Go
Just a reminder again that today, after the 11 o'clock service, we have a very brief congregational meeting. It is to vote on the 2022 budget, as well as elders, deacons, junior deacons for 2022 through 24. Your attendance would be greatly appreciated, as we need a quorum in order to vote as a congregation. And also, immediately after that, we're going to be having a fellowship lunch in the fellowship hall. It's catered, so we don't need to bring anything, but we do hope it may be a time of fellowship. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit is with us, and as Christmas Day approaches, may we indeed rejoice in the truth that you chose to come and dwell among us as one of us, that we may know you in a most intimate and precious way. For your great love, we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
Forever, born your gracious love.